You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. I am not James Edwards. Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards. James happens to be taking a work/vacation combination traveling session. I'll be filling in tonight for James Edwards. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Saturday, the 31st of January, 2015. And James is gone, but I'll be in studio. We got a bunch of great guests lined up for you today as well. First, we're going to have our buddy Sean Bergen on the radio, veteran newsman. Second hour, we're going to have Eddie the Bombardier Miller. What's my job in that? Well, just sit back and open the Bombardier, the bay doors for the Bombardier, I guess you might say. I'll be doing that. Third hour, Winston Smith. He'll have Ken Daly on your radio. And by the way, Ken Daly does a show right after the Political Cesspool. And so you'll get an introduction to Ken's show on the Political Cesspool. And then, hey, you can stay tuned right after the 3 hours of the TPC broadcast for Ken Daly's broadcast. It's the American Freedom Party News Hour. So hang tight for all that. Without further ado, well, it's hard to know what to say about Sean Bergen. I mean, the guy's got so many talents. Number one, he was an actor for like 9 years. Number two, he's a native New Yorker. Number three, he's a veteran of the U.S. Navy. Then he worked as a news reporter in some of the most crime-ridden neighborhoods in the country, from Newark to the South Bronx. Last summer, he was fired. He made on-air remarks about fatherlessness driving black criminality. Now, the interesting thing is he was covering a rookie cop in Jersey City. He was talking about, you know what? He was thinking in his mind, we want solutions. But he quickly realized the mainstream press isn't interested in solutions. Now, what's fascinating to me is saying that, you know what? When you have broken families and criminality and drug use and violence and destruction in society, Sean Bergen believes the answer is the fundamental unit of society, the family. And what's fascinating is he said, hey, we need dad at home to provide discipline, to provide love, to be good to mom. And they absolutely railroaded him out of a job because he had the guts to say that. Now, it isn't just black families that need dads. All children need fathers. I know the mainstream press and the TV and everybody else wants you to believe that dads are nothing but a bumbling idiot and that dad's optional. All you need is kind of a sperm donor to have a child. But that's not really true. Not in the real world. Not when you want solutions. Anyway, Sean Bergen has been standing up for police officers across the country. He had to get a day job so he can tell the tale of news around the clock. And we're grateful for his involvement, for his friendship, and for his service. Welcome to the Political Cesspool, Sean Bergen.
Well, it's always great to join you, Sam. And my goodness, after an introduction like that, I may have to start either juggling or doing magic tricks. yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I was railroaded out of the job working for a liberal TV news station because I essentially pulled back the curtain on liberalism's dirty little secret. And that is the issue of fatherlessness, especially in the black community where 3 out of 4 children are growing up in homes without a father present. And this situation is what drives black criminality. What the liberals in the media do not want you to focus on is the fact that this problem was created by liberalism under liberal social engineering schemes that were begun under LBJ in the late 1960s and then ramped up in the 70s and 80s and into the 90s and beyond. And liberals in the news media steadfastly refuse to shine a light on the wreckage caused by liberalism in America's inner cities. And then they will tell you in the same breath that they really care about black people. And what I did was I got up on the air and I really showed them how much I care about black people, because most of the people, these homicide victims, 90% of them are murdered by other black people. And when they're not killing each other, they're executing cops or they're catching kids in the crossfire or they're slugging out unsuspecting white folks just walking down the street, or they're beating up on their school teachers, as we saw in Paterson, New Jersey last week, or they're going on wilding rampages. And all of this due to the pathology of just a rejection of authority. And that comes directly from fatherlessness. And there is a mountain of data and statistics available on this that the mainstream media refuses to point out. There's a big dead whale in the middle of every newsroom outside of Fox, from what I sound, because they were the only network that really reached out to me in the aftermath of all that. And this big dead whale is this issue of fatherlessness and the fact that it was created by liberalism.
Now, I appreciate that Fox does a better job than most. However, they again still allow that race card to be played. They still don't really focus on the solutions. Look, children need leadership. Children need role models. Children need a father and a mother. The fundamental unit of society is the family. And when you abandon that, you abandon the bedrock principles of America.
Well, you abandon the bedrock principles of being human. I mean, the human species. No matter where you go in this world, whether it's in the United States or outside the United States, you know, the basic family unit consists of a man and a woman in the home. It's not a bunch of single mothers, you know, who are glorified by the American left, whether it's in Hollywood, where we see, as you said, fathers spoofed on and doofed on and, you know, portrayed as these bumbling idiots while the single mother is like this heroic figure. I can't tell you how many times I've met, you know, young black women in the ghettos of America who've puffed their chest out very pridefully and announced that I'm a single mother. And it's like, my goodness, where I come from, that's really frowned upon. And you see the pathologies that come out of that. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about FBI crime statistics or the Centers for Disease Control or the National Institutes of Mental Health, these young children carry a psychological imprint on them for the rest of their lives, the remainder of their lives. It has a horrible, horrible effect on the kids. And that's something that that the American left just refuses to acknowledge, because they will not, under any circumstances, admit to themselves that their ideology is so deeply flawed. They don't want to go anywhere near the results. All they're concerned about is that they try and they care, and that's good enough for them. And that's why it's such a gutless, hedonistic, self-absorbed ideology that's probably best summed up on a bumper sticker.
The definition of a male and what it really means to be an honorable man is really at stake here. And I think what these young men are doing is they're basically trying to show they're tough by impregnating as many females as they can, by dominating a neighborhood and controlling something. Everybody wants to have a role model. Everyone wants to have guidance, and everyone eventually wants to become somebody. And when we deny them real role models, when we deny them a real family and a place to get love and leadership and guidance and skill and discipline and love at the same time, when you deny them those natural needs, at some point, they just reach out for it anywhere. When they reach out for it anywhere, the streets end up being the place that the vacuum is filled. Sean Bergen with me, ladies and gentlemen, veteran news reporter. When we get back, I want him to respond to that. Then I want to move on to this machete-wielding thug. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a whole lot of tidbits in the news. Sean Bergen, our guest. This is the Political Cesspool. Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards on your radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, political cesspool listeners, Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards, hoping you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Hey, did you guys know that Sheriff Richard Mack a couple of weeks ago had a heart attack? No doubt, it's true. A hardcore heart attack, man. It was the Widowmaker, 100% blocked. He was exercising on the treadmill. All of a sudden, he didn't feel good, knew it was a heart attack coming. People at the gym told him to go to the hospital and to call the ambulance. He said, no way, the ambulance will never get here in time. He drove himself to the hospital, jumped in front of the line and said, if you guys don't take care of me, I'm going to die. They took care of him, put a stent in. 30 minutes later, they had already operated. It was that urgent. Now he's home in Arizona. Recovering. It's a slow recovery, ladies and gentlemen. His wife was in the hospital a couple of weeks before he had the heart attack. Between the two, now they owe about $100,000 in medical bills. Of course, they don't have insurance because who wants to sign up for Barack Care? And when you're self-employed, it's very hard to get insurance. He also does not have a retirement because he put all of his money into the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, the CSPOA. Anyway, he needs our support now. If you want to help out, GoFundMe.com/HelpSheriffMack. GoFundMe.com/HelpSheriffMack. Sean Bergen, our guest today. Right before the pause, I set it up for you, Sean. I'm convinced that role models and a proper understanding of a family and real love and real leadership, when that absence happens, well, the thugs fill in the vacuum, sir.
They certainly do. And these young men, these young black and Hispanic men, gravitate towards street gangs. And this really is a big step in killing their futures, because many of them accrue felony convictions before they've even left their teen years. This disqualifies them from, more legitimate means of, acting out their aggression, which might actually be honorable service in the military. But they disqualify them from a whole host of things. They're also victimized by the fact that they are in failing schools, where they don't get any education. So the gang becomes their life. And that is really just a shortcut to prison and then the morgue. Many of these young men end up dying very, very young. And I saw it over and over and over again on the streets of Newark and Patterson and Elizabeth, Trenton, New York, Yonkers. I mean, this same sad tale is playing out in every city in America. And, what really drove me nuts about that whole situation, because I covered these shootings, I've covered hundreds of shootings, and I've been on hundreds of murder scenes, and the violence and that kind of thing didn't really get to me as much as the insanity of people who said that they were there to address the problem and never, ever want to speak publicly about the fatherlessness issue or the gangbangers who act as urban terrorists in their community.
But you know what, Sean? The new media is taking center stage, and they will not be able to play that gatekeeping role for very long. Americans are starting to see the truth, and as we step up in the new media, as we take center stage, they will be forced to deal with these issues.
Yeah, well, I kind of forced their hand a little bit when I took to the airwaves last July and announced that, this gun violence in the streets is driven by fatherlessness in the black community, and no one in the news media wants to address it, wants to cover it. They don't have the courage to go anywhere near that subject. And I very quickly had no idea this would happen, but it turned into a national controversy. And there were many of my colleagues in the news business who really seized on the fact that I crossed the line and that I stuck my toes over the journalistic line. And I responded by saying, that's not really the burning issue. When people are getting murdered in the streets, that's the burning issue. And your steadfast refusal to address the driving cause, the root cause behind this, is, I would call their journalistic credentials into question myself.
Yeah, because by not being willing to tell the truth, the who, what, when, where, why, the dig behind the scenes and get the facts of a story, their journalistic integrity is on the line, is it not?
Well, I don't think they have any journalistic integrity, because many of them are liberals who masquerade as journalists. And they, the thing with these folks, and we'll talk more about this, in a little bit, is the psychology of liberalism is that their ideology comes before everything. It comes before their professional duties. It quite often comes before their personal relationships. I've had liberals, just turn their backs on me completely when they understood or realized that I was not a liberal, that I was actually a conservative, and they're liberals first and journalists second.
Now, Michael Savage even believes it's a mental disorder. What do you think, Sean?
I think modern psychiatry has yet to catch up with the fact that liberalism should really be a diagnosable personality disorder on par with narcissism, histrionic, or borderline personality disorder. These are people who look normal, sound normal, but they're presented with, an enormous amount of data showing them that their behavior and their way of doing things is just a catastrophic failure, yet they persist in the behavior. They simply cannot help themselves. No matter, and this is another reason why they just go into a state of denial when you try to point out to them just the horrible effect that their policies have had on, in the destruction of the African-American family and in turning our cities into virtual combat zones. They just refuse to get it. And, I think as more evidence is compiled, there's a growing body of evidence pointing to the fact that these folks not only do they not get it, but not only do they refuse to get it, but they're just downright incapable of getting it.
Not only are they incapable of getting it, but it almost like the peer pressure of their clique, of their group, somehow with groupthink or a herd mentality seems to just force that point onto them. If you could extract them from their peer group to some degree, you might actually have a chance to educate them. But while they're in that herd mentality, it's impossible.
Well, that's because many of them have the emotional developments of adolescence. You're talking about teenagers here who cling together in these cliques like a bunch of girls in junior high school. Many of them are intellectually stunted, having never really progressed beyond their sophomore year in college, when they, swallowed hook, line, and sinker every bit of nonsense that was put out by their pothead college professors. So, there's a whole host of explanations here, but, I think you're right on the money there, Sam.
One of the interesting things that I find about this behavior that they engage in their actions, you can logically walk them through something. And if they're alone in a private discussion, they'll half agree with you. And right. If you walk them through one principle at a time,
that's very interesting.
If you walk them through one principle at a time, they will even agree with the fundamental principles that we would stand with. For example, murder is wrong, period. Okay. Killing someone is wrong. It's against our moral code. It's against societal norms. Okay. Well, when you walk them through it, then they would say, well, of course that's wrong. Of course we don't stand by that. However, if you have a machete-wielding thug or a black person murders someone, somehow then, well, since they've been downtrodden, since they've been, quote, slaves or whatever term you want to use, at the back seat of the bus for so long, well, in this case, the greater cause justifies it, right?
Well, they'll create excuses for that kind of behavior. You know, they'll blame it on, you know, really nebulous kind of concepts that are really tough to get your hand, you know, like social injustice and institutionalized racism and the fact that we had a slave trade here in the country 150 years ago. I mean, you know, and a lot of it also is driven by that they tend to make emotional arguments, you know, like, you know, that you can't really have an adult conversation about. You know, it's like trying to deal with a petulant child who's throwing a temper tantrum. And so, you know, eventually what happens is they're thinking it'll just throw up their hands of frustration. You know?
Well, and the fact that you're even saying this would prove that you're a white apologist, see, Sean, and see, they'll go like that, right?
Oh, yeah. White apologist, you know, just expressing my white privilege. And it's like, you know, inane concepts that are like cooked up on college campuses, and then, you know, they're indoctrinated with this like doublespeak. It's just, it's like this Orwellian nonsense, psychobabble. You can't even get your head around it, you know. So to have any kind of a rational conversation is, you know, it's crazy. You know, oh, this is all a result of institutionalized racism. Well, we live in a country where we elected and then reelected a really bad president based on his skin color.
All right, Sean Bergen, hang tight. We're going to talk about this machete-wielding thug. We're going to talk about Chris Kyle and a whole lot more, ladies and gentlemen. The Psychology of Liberalism with Sean Bergen and second Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards on The Political Cesspool.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of The Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Veteran newsman Sean Bergen on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards. Sean Bergen, right before the pause, we were talking about the psychosis that's going on. They'll justify anything. Proof is in the pudding. I guess there was a thug wielding a machete. Who got the worst end of that one, Sean?
Well, you know, this is an interesting story out of New York, and it's interesting for a number of reasons. This machete-wielding Brooklyn man, 24-year-old suspect by the name of Ruhim Ulla, menaced cops with an 18-inch blade. The cops responded by shooting the man once in the leg, and, you know, he recovered from his injuries, but he did go on to plead guilty to menacing. Well, he managed to find a lawyer to sue the city for $3 million. Now, just a few weeks ago, the city settled that case out of court. They gave the guy a $5,000 settlement. Now, I mean,
now hold on. Was the $5,000 settlement for wielding a knife, for menacing the cops, or for getting shot in the leg? What's the reason?
He was given $5,000. Essentially, he was given $5,000 to make the lawsuit go away. But yeah, it was because he got shot in the leg by the police. That was his justification.
Now, this is an example, though, where they always have these excuses. There's always a—I mean, it's like spilling your own coffee on yourself and then blaming McDonald's because it's too hot, right? When at some point, there's no accountability anywhere.
No sense of any kind of personal responsibility, no accountability. It's not his fault. You know, this is part of the liberal mindset. So the de Blasio administration's law department decided that they would give this guy $5,000 to make him go away. Now, what's really noteworthy about this is that the police commissioner, Bill Bratton, for the first time ever, blasted the mayor for doing this. In a speech before the Police Foundation at the Mandarin Hotel in Manhattan just a few days ago, he went on a tirade against Bill de Blasio. Now, the important thing here is that Bratton has remained mostly silent or actually defended the mayor publicly while a virtual Cold War has raged between his cops and the de Blasio administration. So we're starting to see a little daylight now between this police commissioner and Mayor de Blasio, and I'm not sure who he would get to fill Bratton's shoes. I mean, he's had a history of being a great police commissioner, both here in New York and in other cities, and I think that Bratton is probably the only thing standing between the city and a return to the bad old days of the 1970s and 80s, where we had a murder rate here of, you know, over 2,000 homicides a year.
And, Sean, if we don't start admitting to the truth, the who, what, when, where, why of stories, the reality that the families are the fundamental unit of society, the a proper role of principles where you say, look, murder is wrong, rape is wrong, it's always wrong, it'll never be right, we won't justify it, we won't make excuses, we won't give somebody a pass because of some manipulated circumstance. Unless we get a handle on that, we will be at those days. It's only a matter of time.
Yep. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I know my own family and friends would disown me if I pulled a stump like that. You know, I mean, we don't have that kind of peer pressure anymore, especially in many of these communities. The police are seen as the enemy, and anything that you can do to get over on anybody, whether it's the government or the taxpayer, is considered, you know, you've done a good job. And that's the entitlement mentality that has so overtaken American culture, especially under this president.
But there's a breakdown between the American people, for the most part, and the media, and there's a breakdown. We basically see two films in the news. You see Selma, and you see The American Sniper, the Chris Kyle movie. The mainstream press loves the Selma movie. They hate the American Sniper movie. At the same time, the American people love the Sniper movie way more than the other movie. And you see this battle and this manipulation trying to bend the hearts and minds of individuals. You got all kinds of whacked out liberals with the psychosis that you mentioned throwing themselves all over this thing, aren't they?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, you're speaking the truth here. There's a massive disconnect between the American people and the news media. There's no question about that. And between much of the American people and the American left, who are seem to be sequestered in coastal cities. And these are the people who look down upon those living out in what they call flyover country as a bunch of, you know, mouth-breathing, gun-toting Neanderthals who cling to their guns and Bibles. So, you know, I went to see the Chris Kyle movie, of course, you know, having been a Navy veteran, and I know a lot of Navy SEALs, and I was very familiar with Chris Kyle and his story before this movie came out. I saw it on opening night, and, you know, this has turned into a box office phenomenon. It is now the most successful military war film in American film history.
And there's a reason, Sean.
What's that?
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, of course there is. He's a heroic figure. And those people on the left can't stand heroic figures because they're deeply shamed by them. They know deep down in their weak, cowardly hearts that they don't have the guts to do what a Chris Kyle does, what a Marcus Luttrell does. And what's amazing is that when these movies are made, they're hugely successful. And the Hollywood left making their anti-war films, those films are catastrophic failures. Films like Redacted, I mean, they fail miserably at the box office. So there's a lot of jealousy. And they, now that this thing has become so successful, they can barely hide their contempt. You know, I mean, for years, since the Vietnam War, they've been forced to preface all of their anti-war speech by saying, well, I support the troops. And they've always said, you know, as long as they say, I support the troops, they believe that gives them immunity then to go on any kind of a rampage against, you know, whether it's the military or the war effort itself or if there's a Republican administration in the White House.
And even appropriate defense of America.
Exactly. But what we're seeing now is, you know, they've always prided themselves on being anti-war. But what we're seeing now is they're actually anti-warrior.
And they're also anti-role model, anti-leadership, anti-ability to make decisions and stand for what's right. They're anti-principle, all the above.
Yeah, it is. And it's really hit critical mass now. I mean, this began with a Manhattan-based film critic who said the film was obviously a Republican platform. But it really gained momentum, of course, with Michael Moore, you know, this big, fat pile of neurotic crazy who went on a tirade on Twitter, basically calling snipers cowards. He was joined in that effort by professional pothead Seth Rogen, who makes basically really idiotic movies out of Hollywood. You know, he compared the film to a Nazi propaganda film. And then that was followed up by Bill Maher, who called Kyle a psychopath. Now, I mean, Maher's, he's a comedian, and comedians are known for working out their unresolved psychological issues on stage in front of a live audience, which sometimes makes it, humorous, and sometimes it's really just painful and uncomfortable to watch. He, of course, was joined by Howard Dean, and, Dean had to bring the Tea Party into it somehow, because everything's political with them. I mean, this is a non-political film. Anybody who's seen it recognizes that it is really the story of an ordinary man who was thrust into the most extraordinary circumstances, and he ultimately prevailed over the worst kind of evil imaginable.
But let's also be clear, too, though. Kyle never started out as who he was. In fact, he never even thought that he was going to become what he ended up becoming. He's really a product of a belief in the American way, belief in the American system, and the type of military people we really build, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, he was inspired by the events of 9/11, as so many of our warriors were today. He went into the Navy SEAL team at the age of 30, which is kind of old, just to show you his level of commitment. He was a regular, good old, you know, Texas rodeo rider, but, you know, there's a critical part in that movie where you see his father addressing him and his younger brother at the dinner table, just to kind of bring this full circle, Sam. I mean, and he explained to his son that the world is full of sheep, but, you know, we need sheepdogs. And those sheepdogs are men who have a capacity for violence, but use it to protect the sheep against the wolves, the predators. Because the sheep, you know, they're quite often, they're afraid of the sheepdog, because the sheepdog kind of looks like the wolf. he's got fangs, and he looks like a dog. But when that wolf shows up, all the sheep run and hide behind the sheepdog. And that's what guys like Chris Kyle are. They're the sheepdogs of our society. And they drive the left crazy. I mean, Matt Taibbi from Rolling Stone said it's a movie whose politics are so ludicrous and idiotic, it's almost beneath criticism.
And my response to that would be, how does leadership, morals, integrity, honor, willingness to be fiercely independent, how does that become a political discussion, Sean?
Well, there's nothing whatsoever political about it, but these people are driven by politics to the exclusion of all else. In fact, the political ideology is so bound up in their whole persona, their whole sense of who they are, that they're inseparable. You cannot separate the two with these folks.
And that's where the childish psychosis comes in.
Well, it certainly does. I mean, I think it goes a long way toward explaining why these people just cannot seem to extricate themselves from this crackpot ideology that defies all manner of logic, reason, scientific and anecdotal evidence, statistical data. They don't care. They are driven and governed by their emotion.
Hang tight. Sean Bergen, our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards. The Political Cesspool in seconds.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Chris Kyle. The sniper movie. Americans love it. The extreme press hates it. They are absolutely crazy. They're falling all over themselves. They cannot contain themselves. The fact is they hate Chris Kyle. Their contempt is evident in everything they say and do. Michael Moore goes off. Bill Maher goes off. Howard Dean goes off. Matt Tyvee. The list just goes on and on. And even this guy on MSNBC makes a very interesting statement. They're basically saying Chris Kyle was a flat-out racist, Sean Bergen.
Yes, Eamon Mulhaldin on MSNBC's show hosted by Joe Scarborough said that, well, this is how they inject their own opinion. They say, some say that he's a racist. Right, and these are like these anonymous.
Okay, and they do that because they do that, Sean, because they know full well then they don't have to take responsibility for that lie.
That's right. You got it exactly right. Or it's just a way for them to express their opinion. You know, some say this, but you know, and it's you who's saying this. Don't say some say. He also said that Kyle went on a killing spree. That's how he characterized his sniper work over in Iraq. That he was going on killing sprees. Now, Scarborough, to his credit, did call him on it, and he kind of just, sidestepped the issue and then went on to his other point about how there are people out there calling him a racist.
What he should have done is said, you've lost all credibility. Our interview's over. Take a hike, bro. You're out of here. You don't have any credibility anymore. You cannot make these bogus allegations. The fact is he worked for the United States government. Are you suggesting his actions were not sanctioned by your tax dollars, the leaders that you elected, and those who have been appointed based on their administrations? Is that what you're saying? Okay, we need to take off the gloves with these people. Scoop Stanton wants to chime in. Hi, Scoop.
How you doing, Sam? How you doing, Sean?
Great.
I was texting with Mr. Edwards. He gives his regards. He will be back next week.
Did you see the Chris Kyle movie?
Yes, I did. And in fact, I got so mad. I was watching the clip about Mr. Mulhaden, and I went online. I have a blog, theamericanscoop.blogspot.com, and wrote an open letter to Mr. Mulhaden. I'll just go through the gist of it since both of you covered this point.
All right, before you do that really quick, I want everybody to know Top Conservative News, CFCC.org has a chat open now for the political cesspool. Jump in the chat immediately, CFCC.org. All right, Scoop, continue.
Okay, well, besides calling Chief Kyle a racist, and he went on killing sprees, Mr. Mulhaden also criticized Chief Kyle for being right of center, God forbid. Okay, really quick, I'll post this on the COC website.
And by the way, Sean Bergen, really quick, they even went on and talked about the Tea Partiers are all at fault, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, Howard Dean said that. And this guy Mulhaden, has a history of being basically a left-wing hack masquerading as a journalist and an apologist for, Islamist radicals. While reporting for NBC, he falsely accused the Israelis of firing a drone into a hospital in the Palestinian territories in Gaza. So, you know, I mean,
and then they lied about it, right?
Well, he rushed to judgment and went on air with a false report. You know, a guy like that, if any other news station would have fired him immediately for doing something like that. Any other news station with any credibility, but NBC and MSNBC, MSNBC is so far out there on the left that you can't even call it a news station anymore. It more closely resembles science fiction, and it's no wonder that this guy has made a home for himself over there.
You got that right. All right, Scoop, go ahead. We didn't mean to interrupt there, but I had to make that point about this idea that they're just blaming all Tea Partiers. They just have this broad brush swath kind of an idea, and everybody's just got paint on them everywhere. All right, go ahead.
Okay, here's my the
letter you wrote.
To Mr. Mulhaden. It's on the internet. I'll post it later. Sir, whatever your feelings on the war on terror, the U.S. Navy, or Chief Kyle, personally, you couldn't be more wrong calling Chief Kyle racist. And it's actually not a battlefield racist. You don't like the fact that Kyle killed people of Middle Eastern descent, and you play into your audience throughout the R word. Calling someone or something racist is when one has, on the left has no more arguments. It's no wonder why your network, MSNBC, is hemorrhaging viewers. If you ever served in battle, you'll learn that each side dehumanizes the enemy. This has been going on before the colonists decided to fight the British. Chief Kyle didn't go on a killing spree. He was defeating the enemy with precision. He was doing his job, sir, and doing it very well. As for accomplishing something, Kyle finished SEAL training, something only the real 1% can do. He achieves the rank of chief petty officer in less than 10 years, yet another remarkable achievement. Even though he wasn't fighting in battle, Chris Kyle still died a hero. Thousands of his fellow Texans lined the streets to pay their respects when he was transported to Cowboy Stadium for his funeral. As for you, Mr. Mohegan, nobody knows who you are. You work for a network that nobody watches. People like me watch it because it's like The Onion for television. You think you are being pissy calling Chief Kyle a racist like every other MSNBC personality does. I figured it out. People like Chris Kyle has machismo, and that's his threat to you. You can never be a Chris Kyle, Lee Ermey, or Clint Eastwood. You want to be, but you can't. So you and your colleagues can only trash a man like Kyle. Keep trashing people like Kyle. It works so well for people like Mike and Moore. Back to you in the studio.
The Onion for TV. I love it. What do you say, Sean Bergen?
Well, you know, that's really what's at issue with these guys. I mean, just going back to their psychology, is that they're deeply shamed by characters like Kyle. I mean, Bill Maher makes no secret of the fact that, you know, he got beat up on the playground as a little kid, and now here he is as an adult, just working out his unresolved, you know, psychological issues on TV. And they can't handle guys like Kyle. You know, him or anyone like him.
Well, just think of the support that Chris Kyle's wife received. She was in tears over the support that she received. Doesn't that tell you the tale about the support for a good American family, Sean?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, but the other thing, too, is that these weasels will make these kind of comments knowing full well that Kyle's widow and children might be exposed to them. Now, if this was a conservative talking about a liberal in that way, they would be just excoriated for being insensitive. But it's amazing how these guys cannot extend their sensitivities to men in uniform, whether it's men on the battlefield like Kyle or it's cops on the street. Remember, when I got fired, it was because I objected to the fact that we were going out on the air with what amounted to hate speech directed toward the cops on the day that a young 23-year-old rookie was executed in cold blood. These same liberals that I worked for, I've had stories spiked and pulled because they said it might offend this group, it might offend that group, if it's a member of a liberal grievance group, then their sensitivities are out there, you know, like, for instance, if it were the aftermath of a terrorist attack, we'd all be rushing out to make sure that there were no backlash against Muslims. Same holds true if this were a young gay man who got beat up in a gay bashing attack. You know, for us to go out with hate speech from, you know, the likes of the Westboro Baptist Church would be unthinkable in that regard. You'd be considered subhuman. But when this kind of stuff happens to cops or it happens to our combat soldiers, their sensitivities go out the window. That's when you see the true vicious nature of liberals.
And that's where you see the true manipulation of the press on full display. All right, do you have another comment here for Sean Scoop?
No, I don't. As usual, I could say it better myself. But those watching the Super Bowl tomorrow, stand by because you're going to see another reason why we boycott Coca-Cola. We'll wait till next week.
All right. What do you think, Sean? You ready for the Super Bowl, sir? Isn't that what America's titillated by next?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we're going to get all the statistics and the false reports on domestic violence that is generated by football, you know, an evil game in the eyes of most of the left. They can't, you know, they just can't fathom how, you know, big, robust athletes like that would go out and, you know, and play a game like football. It's really anathema to them. So they're going to turn it into, I would expect, they're going to turn it into a big domestic violence or anti-domestic violence campaign.
I wonder if Deflategate will be on full display as well.
Well, I don't know.
Those deflated footballs, yeah.
That.
All right, a final comment, Scoop?
Yeah, what I noticed is that everybody's talking about this Deflategate. Meanwhile, you know, this country's broke. Our borders are open. We have no military. God only knows what Obama's planning to do down the road. Congress is broken, but we all got to worry about if there's football had some air in it.
If that doesn't tell the story, I don't know what does. And that just shows he who owns the media makes the rules. And I'm telling you right now, they made the rules. They were the gatekeepers. But now that the new media has taken center stage, all I can tell you is they're not going to be able to play that role much longer. And Sean Bergen, hopefully we can put a talk show together for you and stuff. We need more Americans who are willing to stand up. I don't care their color, their creed, their religion. I just want good, honest people who believe in the bedrock principles of America who are willing to stand together and call a halt to the con game and say, hey, enough is enough, and we expect the truth to be told, and if you won't tell it, we will.
God bless you for that, Sam Bushman. I think we'll see that happen someday soon.
And the scoop, what do you say about that? You going to help us?
Oh, most definitely. You know what? It's a mixed blessing that we have Bergen on the Political Cesspool as our New York correspondent. We're also working to have him on Liberty News Radio with his own talk show. But it's too bad that we can't do it. You know, he had to go through more hell to get where he's at now. So
what it became for Sean Bergen is freedom above fortune, to borrow a Joe Bannister term, but that nails who has principle and who stands up for what for the right reasons because it's the right thing to do. And Sean's paid the price, and hopefully we can make sure that his family's taken care of as a result. Thanks, Sean.